إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، all praise is due to Allah, we praise Him. We ask Allah's forgiveness and we seek Allah's assistance and we seek refuge with Allah from the evil within our souls and the consequences of our bad deeds. Verily, whomsoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray. And whomsoever Allah allows to go astray because they do not want any guidance, then no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah alone with no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger. May Allah exalt his mention, grant him peace, his companions, his wives, and all those who follow them on the path of righteousness until the day of recompense. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. All you who have believed, be mindful of Allah and fear Him the way He deserves it, and do not die except in the state of submission as Muslims. These opportunities which come on annual basis are often not taken advantage of. And it's a sad state for the Muslim to be part of the month of Ramadan from the beginning until the end. However, the month ends and this person's sins have not been forgiven. And it is with that that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was climbing on the steps of the minbar and he would say Ameen every time he would go up one step, and then the companions inquired about the reason behind him saying Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. And he narrated to them that Jibreel alayhi salam had come to him. And Jibreel was making a dua. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was saying Ameen to the dua of Jibreel. And among the things which Jibreel mentioned was a person who reaches the month of Ramadan. However, the month ends and this person's sins have not been forgiven. And this person, the dua was, he may he be kept away. What a loser is the one who misses out on this opportunity. So Jibreel, the greatest of malaika, is making dua, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying Ameen to this dua for the one who does not take advantage of the month of Ramadan. We already have our issues throughout the year. 11 months were messed up and negligent and forgetful and heedless with our shortcomings and sins and calamities which we are upon. If one were to continue this mode of carelessness in the month of Ramadan, then this person has lost the opportunity to be admitted to paradise. The hadith which is sahih, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would inform his companions about the month of Ramadan, that the month of Ramadan, when the first day of Ramadan comes, all of the gates of the hellfire are closed and all of the gates of Jannah are open, and the devils and the strongest among the jinn are chained up. They're chained. And then a caller calls out, O seeker of good, come. And O seeker of evil, desist. And verily Allah will redeem people from the fire every single night of the nights of Ramadan. Every single night, a group of Muslims, Allah knows who they are, they will be redeemed from the hellfire. It will be decreed that they will never enter the hellfire because of their ibadah or their engagement or their faithfulness to Allah on one night of the nights of Ramadan. So that's 29 or 30 opportunities to be given this blessing. How can we miss out on it? We can. If we don't have the right program set up, we can. If we're still watching television, we can. If we're still engaged in false speech and cheating, we can. And this is why we have to understand the other narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. من لم يدع قول الزور والعمل به فليس لله تعالى حاجة في أن يضع طعامه وشرابه. Whosoever does not abandon false speech and act in accordance with it. And the scholars explain that this includes any act of sinfulness. Whoever does not abandon it, then verily Allah is in no need that this person should abandon his food and drink. Allah does not need one of us to get on a diet. He does not need one of us to stop eating and drinking merely. Because that is not the objective of fasting. Otherwise the kuffar fast. They refrain from eating and drinking for health reasons. Or maybe their own religious reasons. Like the Christians. Who may eat certain kind of food and abandon others for 40 days or whatever depending on the denomination. Do you think Allah will accept the fasting of the Christians? Absolutely not. Why? Because their objective was not taqwa. How can they have taqwa when they worship others with Allah and attribute children to Allah? And accuse Allah of the worst accusations that you won't even accuse a regular human being of, let alone the creator of the heavens and the earth. The objective of fasting, which you have heard thousands of times, I believe. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So that we may achieve this piety and righteousness and fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. So if we don't have the right formula, in a month we will not get this. Eating and drinking or abandoning eat and drink doesn't do much. It's part of the process. It is one of the things which we have to abstain from during the day. But it is not the only thing we have to abstain from. And so if our other limbs are engaged in sinfulness, then it is very probable that this is the kind of person who will miss out on taking advantage of Ramadan. This is the kind of person who will not have his sins forgiven by the end of Ramadan. Because during the day, that person wasn't achieving taqwa. If one of us wants to do self-evaluation, don't go asking your neighbors. Check yourself after iftar. Check yourself after iftar. What are you doing after iftar? If you find that after you break your fast, you are ashamed to do certain sins which you used to do before Ramadan, then I congratulate you, my brother, you have achieved some taqwa. That fasting during the day, it was effective enough for you to be mindful of Allah after you broke your fast. If you find that you're going right back into different things, then I have to give you condolences because it's the other way around. And drive around in the streets. Drive around after iftar and look at the condition of the people. Look at the condition of the people. Look how they drive. Someone is fasting and just yesterday in front of our eyes, the taxi by mistake cut him off. Big crime. He stayed behind him and went in front of him and stepped on his brakes. Almost the taxi almost crashed into him. And he's screaming and yelling and waving. Ya Sheikh, you're fasting? This is what you learned from fasting? Harassing a person who may have made a mistake? Another one is listening to his music. And the other group, as soon as the adhan is called, he breaks his fast on a cigarette. Not on a date. Not on a date. And then they go to the shisha place and they smoke it up all night. What taqwa is this? And what fasting is this? If one of us finds that he is in this category of people, we have to go to the emergency room now. This is a disaster. This is still the beginning of the month. There's room to rectify. There's room to fix it. But where do we stand in regards to these issues? What the Muslims, they should be like, is that before the time of Fajr comes in, he should have suhoor. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "As-suhooru barakatun fala tad'u walau an yajra'a ahadukum jur'atan min ma' fa inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'ala al-mutasahhirin." He said alayhi wasallam, in suhoor there's a blessing, there's a special blessing in that pre-dawn meal. So do not abandon it.
It's not an obligation, but it's a high recommendation from the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. Do not abandon it, even if you were to only drink a sip of water. If the only thing you did was drink some water just so you could have a pre-dawn meal, then let it be. Why? Verily Allah and His Malaika seek forgiveness for those who engage in suhoor. And another hadith, he said, نِعْمَ سُحُورِ الْمُؤْمِنِ التَّمَرُ. What an excellent pre-dawn meal for the believer is dates. Or are dates. Dates. Of course, I'm not going to discuss the health reasons why dates are good, whether during suhoor or at the time of iftar. But the sunnah is sufficient. The sunnah is sufficient for those who understand and believe. So have some dates. Try to include some dates in your suhoor. Then one should have the niyyah that he will be fasting on that day which is coming prior to the arrival of Fajr. Otherwise, in a hadith which is authentic, attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there's no fasting for the one who does not have the intention formed from the night before. The night before, or even minutes before Fajr, or even seconds before Fajr. Once you wake up and you intend, and you don't have to verbally say anything or write anything down. Once you intend to fast, you've done the job. Some of the scholars say one time is sufficient for the whole month, meaning you intend before the beginning of the month to fast the whole month, and others say it has to be done on daily basis, and that is the safer position. And it doesn't take any effort or energy or anything. You just intend and you go on with it. The mere act of getting up for suhoor is already the niyyah. So that has taken care of that. Then of course one should abstain from eating and drinking and having sexual relations with one's spouse from sunrise until sunset. This is in regards to the things, let's say, that are tangible. But then we have the other element which the Prophet ﷺ highlighted, the one which was mentioned in the hadith earlier, and the one which is also understood from the other hadith, wherein the Prophet ﷺ said, if it is a fasting day for one of you, then let him avoid فَلَا يَرْفُثْ وَلَا يَسْخَبْ. Do not engage in any relations and do not overreact. Do not wild out. Do not act obnoxiously. And if a person were to verbally abuse you, if a person were to verbally abuse you or curse you out or try to harm you, then your retaliation should be, I am a fasting person. I am a fasting person. You don't return the evil with evil. Why? Because you are fasting. And that fasting prevents you from replying. Even though you may be entitled to this reply, and you may be wronged and oppressed, and you have the right Islamically to get your right back. However, when you are fasting, let it go. Because the nature of the situation is, if you retaliate, he will retaliate again, and it will escalate until both of you end up with no siyam. So anyone who does something, it's okay. No matter how bad it is, it's okay. I am fasting. I'm not going to go down to your level. I'm not going to ruin my fast. I've been waiting all year for Ramadan for these things to be forgiven. I'm not willing to lose that because of a person like you. This is not the time for me to miss out on this. So you ignore this person completely, or you verbally say, I am fasting, and you go in the other direction. If we don't do this throughout the day, we are not really fasting. So this television, turn it off. Turn it off during the day. Of course, this is depending on what you're watching. No one is going to say TV is haram unless a person is watching halal. But what is the percentage of the people who use the TV properly? 3% on a very good day. And 97% misuse the television in means that are unlawful and prohibited. Therefore, if you're not from these 3%, and this television is reasons for you to be sinful, then my sincere advice is the whole day and the whole night, do not turn it on. Do not turn it on. Unless you will control and filter what you will be watching, which is Islamically allowed, then go ahead and enjoy yourself with the halal and the mubah. If not, then leave it alone. This television has ruined people's Ramadan for years, from the time they invented the TV until today, among the main reasons why Muslims may fail at the end of the month of Ramadan. They are either too busy at the night with some soap opera that they've created specifically for Ramadan with 30 episodes, ironically. Or they're busy throughout the day watching nonsense and junk. And obviously their faith is not going to rise. Had we engaged in the recitation of the Qur'an, it would be ideal. And this is exactly what we're supposed to do in the month of Ramadan. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. It is the month of Ramadan in which the Qur'an was revealed. This big blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal was revealed in this particular month. How much of the Qur'an do we know, my brothers? We need to ask ourselves sincerely these questions. And just the other day there was a talk in Masjid Al-Aziziyah, one of the nearby masajid over here. And we have a decent crowd of people. And the Imam in the Salah recited Surah Al-Adiyat. وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحَ فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْحَ until the end of the surah. Until he came to the ayah, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودِ. And then a question was asked to the audience. Who knows what this ayah means? Who knows what the word kanood means? And needless to say, there were zero answers. This is, mind you, this is Juzu Amma. This is the end of Juzu Amma. This is the surah which probably everyone I asked had memorized already. Yet, not a single person knew what the word kanood means. And maybe right now, as I'm speaking, we might have a similar situation. Isn't that amazing? That the word kanood means ungrateful. And that Allah is saying, verily, the human being in regards to his Lord is ungrateful. And it's manifesting in us now. We are pretty ungrateful for not knowing what this Qur'an is teaching, for being foreign to this Qur'an completely. Our excuse, I'm not an Arab. I don't speak Arabic. It's not my mother language. I don't understand. That's a lame excuse, my brother. Very lame and old-fashioned. Because the Qur'an has been translated by Allah's grace to all the languages which we speak today. The meaning of the Qur'an is available. If you don't know Arabic, fine. You don't know Urdu, you don't know English, I don't think so. Is it available in a translated language? Yes, it is. Have we taken the time to read it? This is the question. We need to learn what the Qur'an is teaching. So my second advice is do not merely read the Arabic Qur'an. Don't think you've achieved the ultimate goal by doing khatm. Now you're the sheikh of the qabila, and you're the maulana. Two khatm, three khatm. And what benefit is that khatm going to do you? If your heart has a khatm on it, it's been sealed from understanding this Qur'an. There's no benefit in that. If you were to read Surah Al-Baqarah only in the month of Ramadan with understanding, wallahi, it is superior to reading the whole Qur'an without understanding. Because the objective of the Qur'an is not only to get ajr. Had it been guaranteed, we would say fine. Had there not been a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where he said, Al-Qur'an hujjatun laka aw alayk, the Qur'an is a proof either for you or against you, it would have been fine. But when he tells us, alayhi sallam, the Qur'an can be a proof against you, how can it be proof against you? When we don't act in accordance to his teachings. When do we violate his teachings? When we don't know his teachings to begin with. So people come and tell you there's nothing that suggests hijab. There's no hijab in Islam. This whole thing is invented. This is a person who has not read the Qur'an or the tafsir of the Qur'an, who has no idea what's in the Qur'an. And all these innovations that the ignorant people bring about today, they say they're not there, they're in the Qur'an. And they're in the tafsir of the Sahaba. But they never bother to read the tafsir of the Sahaba. Or the tafsir which collected the statements of the Sahaba. Whether it's At-Tabari or Ibn Kathir or others. So my brothers, the Qur'an, my brothers, the Qur'an, it's a shame to stand behind the Imam for a whole hour not knowing what he's saying. Have no idea what he's saying. It's a shame for a Muslim who's been alive for 20, 30, 40 years and will meet Allah soon. To meet Allah without having done anything towards understanding the revelation. It's a shame. And this is something which we cannot continue doing. Ramadan is an opportunity to start this change. If we can't learn Arabic yet, at least we need to read the interpretation of the Quran in the language which we understand, and familiarize ourselves with the words. So when we stand behind the Imam and we hear him say something, we will feel something in our heart. We will be affected positively. We may shed a tear. We may fear Allah. We may cry. We may feel. These feelings cannot be generated without understanding. Or if they are, they're not as genuine as the ones which are generated based on understanding. So one recites the Quran as much as possible throughout the day. And in the second part of the khutbah, we'll be discussing other elements and rulings of fasting and praying at night. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to a woman who had missed Hajj with him. She was unable to make Hajj with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So he told her in a hadith صحيح. He said, if Ramadan comes in, then perform a Umrah. Because verily, a Umrah in Ramadan is equivalent to Hajj. And in the narration in Sahih Muslim, he said, equivalent to a Hajj with me. Doing Umrah during the month of Ramadan is equivalent to performing Hajj with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This does not mean that if one has not performed Hajj, that this will fulfill the obligation of the once a lifetime Hajj. However, this will give the reward of a Hajj. But the person who hasn't done Hajj still has to do Hajj during the Hajj season. But this is an encouragement to at least to perform preferably one Umrah. Let me just say preferably one Umrah. This is because of many other reasons in terms of the condition of the haram and the crowdedness of the people and giving room for Muslims coming from elsewhere. Many some people are advising not to do Umrah altogether, and it's tough to advise the Muslims not to do Umrah in Ramadan, especially specifically the residents of Jeddah. It's just like 45 minutes to an hour and you're there. But if one does not do many with the intention to help the Muslims or give room to other Muslims, then inshallah this should be fine. And his niyyah is valued by Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he will get the ajr for it. But don't miss out on at least one Umrah in the month of Ramadan. And of course, when we go on Umrah, we should observe the etiquettes of Umrah. And these have to be discussed in a separate lecture. So then the day continues by abstaining from what is haram and engaging in what is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. Reading the Quran, reading the meanings of the Quran, memorizing some ad'iyah, or whatever it is that a person wants to engage in that is lawful and pleasing to Allah. When the time of breaking the fast comes, a person should be also mindful of Allah Azza wa Jal and should try to include a dua. Now there are some ad'iyah which are inauthentic but are famous. Allahumma laka simtu ala rizqika aftart wa ila akhirih. This portion of the hadith is based on an inauthentic tradition attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, the authentic part of it is ذَهَبَ الذَّمَأْ وَابْتَلَّتِ الْعُرُوقِ وَثَبَتَ الْأَجْرُ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهِ. This is the part of the dua which is authentic. And this is a part of the dua which we are recommended to say when we break our fast. Of course, one may make other dua as well, generally for his welfare and the welfare of the Muslims in this life and in the life to come. Then as soon as you hear the adhan, meaning this is the time of the time has entered, we assume that it's being called on time, of course, then you should hasten to break your fast. Hasten to break your fast. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this. He said, this ummah will remain in the state of goodness as long as they hasten to break their fast. Don't be, suddenly you get all the khushu' and all of the feelings and emotions to make dua. So the people are breaking their fast with the right hand, of course, and you're sitting there now still making dua. This is against the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's against the sunnah. As soon as you know that the time has entered, you are expected to eat instantly. And it is preferred, of course, that we break our fast on some dates and drink some water. If that is not available, then whatever is available. But my brothers, be careful of certain foods which will ruin your day and night and will ruin your body in Ramadan and after Ramadan. It is not an open buffet. It is not all you can eat now because the time of breaking the fast has entered. This is a misconception. We have been abandoning food and drink all day. Now we are allowed to take in the portion necessary for us to be able to pray Taraweeh, to be able to go to the masjid. Overeating and begin all the fried food, I'm not going to name them so I won't hurt anyone's feelings who has attachment to certain kind of food. All this fried food which we break our fast with is actually quite unhealthy. It's quite unhealthy. And how can someone gain weight in Ramadan? This remains to be a mystery. It's a mystery to be resolved. How can someone during the month of fasting gain weight? It's because they are not observing any of the etiquettes of the sunnah when it comes to breaking their fast. So they eat and eat and eat until they can't eat anymore. Then they go pray, then they come back and eat again. Then they taraweeh, they sleep during the salah. And we're done with the salah after they've cursed out the imam who took too long in the salah. Then they go back and eat some more. And then they eat again. So they want to make up the whole hours. For every hour he fasted, he wants to eat for an hour. And then we wonder why we're getting people are in the hospital in Ramadan more than they are in the hospital outside Ramadan. It's because we don't eat properly. Where's the sunnah of eating one-third, and keeping one-third for breath? Breathe, ya Shaykh. Breathe. Allow yourself to breathe after you eat. A few bites, go pray your Maghrib. Then come back and have another few bites, and that's it. Get the Taraweeh done properly. Don't eat too much before Taraweeh. You will suffer. You know from experience. Go pray your Taraweeh with a peace of mind and take your time. Then when you come back, you can have the actual meal you had been anticipating at the time of Maghrib. It's a successful formula tried and applied by many people. Give it a shot. Give it a shot. And see what Allah Azza wa Jal facilitates for you. There isn't a worse feeling I can perceive. Personally, there isn't a worse feeling than being behind the imam while sleepy. The worst feeling in the world is that we're still in the first two rak'at of Taraweeh and you are tired. Tired. You want to sleep, you want to lie down, you want to rest. It's the worst feeling in the world. Because you will not, you don't have the courage to leave Taraweeh, even though it's not an obligation. It is not an obligation. But the hadith, من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Whoever prays at night in Ramadan out of belief in Allah and seeking the reward will have all of his previous sins forgiven. That's a big deal. All of my previous sins, years and years of sins will be forgiven if I pray properly in Ramadan. Yes. So you don't have the courage to leave the imam. And yet you don't enjoy the prayer behind the imam because you're too tired. All of this is a result of eating too much at the time of Maghrib. So, these are among the main things. Now, if you are a traveler, or if you are ill, then as Allah Azza wa Jal said, فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ فَمَنْ كَانَ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Whosoever is ill or on a journey, then he can make up equal number of days of the days he missed. Verily, Allah wants to make things easy for you, and Allah does not want to make them difficult. Allah does not want to make them difficult. So if you are on a journey, and that journey is tiring, you're unable to, if you're unable to fast. Now some people say, if I go from here to Riyadh, on an airplane, that's not really a big deal. I'm able to handle it. Fine. Some of the scholars say, keep fasting. Maintain your fast, provided that you're able to manage. If you're traveling in a car, or it's a long journey, and you will have fatigueness and tiredness, then you break your fast. And don't feel guilty. It's okay, Allah gave you this rukhsa, this concession. And you make up these days afterwards. If you're a person with a permanent disease, you're old or you have some disease which prevents you from fasting, then you pay... You feed a person for every day in which you don't fast. However, if you are ill and expect to be treated or to recover in the future, and then you have to make up these days in which you broke your fast. So the rulings differ between someone who has a permanent disease or temporary issue which can be resolved in the future. But basically, brothers in Islam, I don't know, today is the third or the fourth of Ramadan already. It's just wild. We just started, wallahi, we just started. It almost feels like we didn't start yet. But we're already towards the first 10 days of Ramadan or on the verge of going out. And you will see from yearly experience, it goes away quick. Ramadan ends very soon, right after it starts. So let us take it serious. And let us take serious advantage of the month. And have the conviction and the determination to seek Allah's forgiveness in this month and to be righteous slaves. Wallahi, it's a golden opportunity. This could be our last Ramadan. This is what every Muslim should believe every year. This could be the last one. This could be the last one. If it is the last one, I want to make sure I do it right. I want to make sure it is accepted. I want to make sure my sins are forgiven. So this could be our last Ramadan if we make it till the end. So let us not be among the losers. And be careful of the distractions. And focus on what is beneficial for you. أقول قولي هذا وأسأل الله أن يجمعنا جميعا في دار جنته. Oh Allah, we ask you to forgive our sins and to pardon our shortcomings and to make us among those who listen to the reminder and follow the best of it. اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم يا مصرف القلوب اصرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار واغفر لنا ولجميع المسلمين واجعلنا من الأبرار وصل اللهم وسلم على النبي المختار.